The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
George Sedano, Kalashaw, Cyrus Spade, Kevin Blackistone. Did they change the rules of the Pro Bowl? Is it just two-hand touchdown? There's got to be something between that game yesterday and that hit. Ooh. Sean Taylor from 2007. The Professional Bowl and the NHL All-Star Weekend. What do your feelings feel about your feelings?
You can begin Dodge a wrench, you can Dodge Sean Taylor. Is that the transition here?
AFC 41, NFC 35, bunch of touchdowns, bunch of turnovers, not a lot of tackling. The Mac Jones touchdown run was called back, ruled down by touch.
So proud of himself.
Is everybody okay with a Pro Bowl that's two-hand touch now? Tim Kalashaw, you?
I'm okay that players are going to make business decisions if they're going to show up for this game at all. I think Tom Brady gave up on that about a decade ago. So they're not going to really hit each other, but it's just not much of a show. With all that, with the way they're running around, half speed, there still wasn't any offense. Neither team passed for 300 yards, and nobody runs the ball at all. The NFC had 1 yard rushing. You would think they would put up better stats. It's mostly something for people to sit back, see those Chiefs helmets and Cowboy helmets, and go, oh, I love it. This is the league I love. I don't even care what these people are doing.
George Sedano?
Yeah, Tony, this stinks. I got to be honest with you. I grew up watching this stuff, and I loved it. I used to love watching, you know, Dan Marino as a kid growing up playing in the Pro Bowl. This is not that anymore. J.J. Watt put it best when he said he's seen walkthroughs that are more intense than this. And ultimately, what I think needs to happen is just take the stuff you're doing before the game, all these skill challenges, and make that what the event is. Like the old QB challenge that was discontinued in the mid-2000s, when you'd have all the best quarterbacks out there competing just for an hour in all sorts of different events, and you could do that with other positions as well.
Kevin Blackistone, have we finally arrived at a point where this isn't football anymore, and it's just two-hand touch, and are you okay with that?
I'm okay with that because you cannot play pretend NFL football. We know that it is a 100% injury rate league, as players like to say, and is absolutely the truth. And so you can't replicate that in an all-star game. So I understand this. You know, at this point, let's just put Velcro straps on them and turn it into a flag football game because that's really all it can be. You don't even have to wear helmets. You don't even have to wear pads. Play on a beach somewhere. Put it under palm trees. Get it out of the stadium.
No helmets would injure Kalashaw, though, because he believes people are watching for the helmets.
And I have the helmets.
And they are watching. Remember, this game outrates playoff games in other sports. Sarah Spain, I'll bring you in here.
Yeah, that's why they aren't in a rush to, like, completely get rid of it, because it still gets incredible ratings, even though it's not super fun to watch. I have enough cognitive dissonance problems trying to watch actual meaningful football games and respect and understand the injuries that are taking place, particularly head injuries. So I am completely fine, and I would rather not watch them go full out in a Pro Bowl game that's meaningless. But this isn't really super fun to watch, and I'm 100% with George. We like a fish out of water situation. I want to see offensive linemen play quarterback. We love the Diggs versus Diggs brothers. I want to see people cycling through different parts of the game. That would be more fun to me.
So you would gimmick it up.
Weird stuff like that. Totally gimmicky, yeah.
Going through the timeline, and I saw a tweet like, this isn't how we used to play. Where's the tackling in this Pro Bowl? And I was like, who said this? Deion Sanders said that. If Deion Sanders has a problem with the tackling going on in your game.
Didn't tackle in the regular season.
No problem. We'll move on. News of the day, coaches hired in the NFL. Miami Dolphins hiring Mike McDaniel as their head coach. He was the 49ers offensive coordinator. He's 38 years of age. Houston Texans. It's leading all signs to Lovie Smith. 63 would be his third head coaching job in the NFL. Eric Bieniemy interviewing with the New Orleans Saints yesterday. If there's any progress on that, we'll be keeping an eye out for that. Oh, this all while Roger Goodell's Saturday memo said that diversity of head coaches in the league is unacceptable. Those two hires that I talked about, McDaniel, multiracial, Smith Black would adjust league numbers, and of course Bieniemy would too. George, first on McDaniel, what type of hire is this for Miami?
Tony, it's a good hire, but I want to state on the front end that I thought they had a good coach to begin with Brian Flores, and I wasn't necessarily on board with them firing him because he had done something they hadn't done there in a long, long time, which is, I don't know, back-to-back winning seasons. Now, to McDaniel, look, it's a smart hire in this regard. The trend is to go offensive coaches. We've seen Sean McVay be a guy who didn't call plays for Jay Gruden to being a head coach calling plays and have success. He's been to two Super Bowls. And this tree stuff of Kyle Shanahan, McVay, it's none of that. It's actually Mike Shanahan that is the tree that they're bearing fruit from, because all these guys, LaFleur, Taylor, et cetera, were all on his staff, including McDaniel.
So we've been joking for years about just brush shoulders with Sean McVay and get a head coaching job. This, and Shanahan as well, Blackstone, this would on the surface be that, but what do you think of the McDaniel hire for Miami?
Well, the one thing that gets to me about the McDaniel hire is what George just said, and that's if the trend right now is to go with offensive coordinators, then how is it that the offensive coordinator trend bypassed Eric Bieniemy for so many years, and he's still waiting for a head job? That's the question that I would ask, and I think that's the question that a lot of people are asking. We'll see if it pays off. 38 years old, coming off of a tree that is getting dropping more and more fruit now, as you just pointed out, all over the league is a good thing. But, you know, it doesn't answer the problem in this league right now, and that has to do with systemic problem in terms of giving opportunities to aspiring black and brown head coaches in this league.
So it's not about one. It's not about two.
Right.
It's about the system. Guys, I'm really close to putting a ban word on tree and fruit from the tree. You guys aren't Gregor Mendel. We're not doing those little botany squares here. Sarah Spade, I'll bring you in.
Yeah, McDaniel's an interesting hire. Obviously, Flores was having success there. So they bring him in. You know, the Niners ran a league-high 77% in motion. Tua has the third-best increase in QBR among quarterbacks in motion. So we're bringing in a guy that might get the best out of Tua. Maybe Jalen Waddle becomes the next Debo Samuel. You start to use him in more interesting and intriguing ways. There are aspects of that offense and what the Niners did that could be really fun and exciting with the Dolphins. It's an interesting hire for a guy that has one season as an offensive coordinator, no seasons as a head coach, to replace a guy in Flores who is having success, but maybe it's an interesting and good trend that a coach of color, who we don't hear a lot about, who hasn't been talked about for years, is getting that opportunity without being the talk of the town, but because people have endorsed him.
Tim Kalishaw.
If this is my last chance to talk trees, I'll talk trees here, but what we saw with this hire with McDaniel, the 49ers had kind of a weird offense. I think we can all say this year, heavy on the run, not a great quarterback. Undetermined when they were going to give the job at all, if they ever would, this season to Trey Lance. And I think when you look at Miami, which already has a good defense, thank you, Brian Flores, they need to get that offense going, and McDaniel seems like he could be the guy to do that. So from that standpoint, I think the Dolphins fans have to be pretty happy that the McVay tree and the Shanahan tree.
All right, that's it. We're done here, guys. Writers, go to thesaurus.com if you need help. Sedano, please.
Look, he was entrusted as part of the group on offense that was going to help Trey Lance become a star-type quarterback. They drafted him up that high to be that, and they feel, the Dolphins must feel, Chris Greer and company must feel that he could do the same thing with Tua, who has had moments but has played behind the worst offensive line in football. So we'll see.
Lovie Smith's last winning season was 2012 that in the NFL. He had time in college as well. Not many winning seasons there either. So the question is, should Houston go to Lovie? Should Lovie go to Houston? And furthermore, all the reporting was this was Josh McCown's job. And then the Brian Flores lawsuit gets dropped on here, and whether Houston is now just making a decision to go with a coordinator from a coach they just fired. Sarah, you want to shed any light into this?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly worth wondering what happened and if there was a gentle nudge of really you're going to hire a guy with zero coaching experience over all of the other candidates, and that may have given the Texans a push. It is interesting, and I wonder how rare it is for a coordinator for a coach who's been fired to be elevated to the head coach. If that system wasn't working, it's strange to elevate a member of it. But Lovie Smith deserves this shot, and this is actually, it's not a great job. There are a lot of questions at quarterback, but he's a guy who went to the Super Bowl with Rex Grossman, who was a spotty QB. Let's just leave it at that. I like the idea of Lovie getting another shot. I think he's a great qualified coach with a history of success. I just wonder about the Texans as a place where anyone would
Kalishaw.
First thing I would say to Lovie is lose the big white beard.
Oh, no.
You're not 90 years old.
No,
you're 63.
No,
you're a young man. You're a young man. You're 63. You could still dominate on this show.
No.
Maybe not 63, but thereabouts. But here's the thing. I like the fact that Lovie Smith had a failed experience in Tampa Bay, 8-24, and he gets another chance. That's really what the black experience has been in the NFL. If you get a chance to be a coach and you don't succeed, you're gone. We don't see retreads. And I'm not calling him a retread. He had a very good career in Chicago and then a bad 2 years in Tampa Bay. The man deserves
another
shot.
And after that was 5 years or parts of 5 years in Illinois. I
right.
gave him credit for a winning season. He didn't have at Illinois. So it was 5 years, place. 17 and 39. George Sedano?
Tony, I don't blame a lot of this stuff on Lovie Smith anyway. That team's roster was built pretty poorly to begin with, and they also – or maybe, you know what, they might have built it a certain way because they felt like they had bigger plans for the long term, and it didn't work out that way. The majority of the guys on that roster, Tony, were on 2 years or less going into last season. That's a team that's completely in transition. That's not – you can't blame one guy on that, whether it's David Culley or Lovie Smith for
Devin
that.
Devin Blackiston.
Well, of course, David Culley never should have been fired. That was incredibly unfair. But Lovie Smith never should have been out of the NFL for as long as he had been. That is incredibly unfair. The success that he had in Chicago, getting to a Super Bowl, putting up double-digit win seasons. This guy can coach in this league, and it's a shame that he's just getting back at 63 years old with that fabulous-looking beard, though. Gotta love that.
I mean, Kalishaw, you're making a stand anti-beard for a man with facial hair that is also multicolored in some ways. That's an interesting move.
Massive expanse of white hair.
We'll see if Josh McCown gets put on the staff for Lovie Smith and how quickly that happens in the week to come. We'll find ourselves on the other side.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
Steve Nash saying the Nets aren't trading James Harden at the deadline. Sources say the Nets have dismissed 76ers' interest in James Harden. Both those reports kind of fly in the face of reports from a couple days ago, and it comes while the Nets have lost 8 straight and got rolled by Denver last night. Harden sat out. George, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm selling the fact that they won't trade James Harden for Ben Simmons. I actually think if you look at it from a basketball perspective, Ben Simmons is a better fit alongside Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, a true point guard and a guy who can defend pretty much every position on the floor, which is also a weakness of theirs. James Harden would be better on Philadelphia, although still not the perfect fit. I'd like to actually see Bradley Beal team up with Joel Embiid, but nonetheless, I'm selling them, not trading Harden now.
Tim Kalishaw?
I'm selling the idea that there's a rush to do something if Kevin Durant is supposed to be back His 6 weeks will be around March 1st. If he's back several weeks before the start of the playoffs, there's no dominant team in the East. There's no reason to think this team can't do what it did last year in the playoffs and maybe go one step further with Durant's toe not being on the line.
Yeah, that would be one step back then. Or
one step back.
Darius Spain, how about you?
Yeah, I'm buying that the leverageness is fascinating because if you think about it, there is that rush for the Sixers to say we're already great, but we saw what happened last year when our postseason didn't match our regular season. The East looks open. We would make another team worse by, you know, but the way that Ben Simmons is a fit for the Nets is actually a really scary thing for the Sixers, who are kind of just holding him off the court now by not playing him. If they send him over the Nets, they might actually be better. And then James Harden is not necessarily someone you want on a long-term deal. He makes them better now and maybe next year, but how long term do you want to have a guy that you're gonna have to pay that much and you have to depend on sticking with it for the next couple
years?
It's
real interesting, Sarah, that you would be trading him to your rival, right? Both teams feel their window right now is when it's Blackstone. The window for Brooklyn is this year with Durant's age and with Embiid's window.
Well, that's the whole thing. I mean, I'm buying that the Nets are the best team that never was unless and until they can have all three of those guys on the court for a very short period of time and win in the playoffs. And that's obviously what they're holding off on right now.
Fire sale two, Michigan football losing both coordinators since the playoff. D.C. Mike McDonald moved on to be D.C. of the Baltimore Ravens. O.C. Josh Gattis, the Broyles Award winner, best assistant in the country, moving this weekend to the University of Miami, where he takes the OC job there. So he's moving to the same position at a different college. Has some wondering if Harbaugh burned bridges after interviewing with the Vikings. Aaron Torres, Fox Sports, saying Harbaugh's ego got in the way. Tim, what are you buying? What are you selling?
I'm selling Harbaugh's actions. I mean, it took him 7 years to win a Big Ten title, and he couldn't run back to NFL interviews fast enough. I know that the second signing day is largely a photo shoot day, but you still should be there. You shouldn't have all your assistants and players wondering what the hell's going on while you're interviewing with the Vikings. I just think Harbaugh can't stand his own success.
Sarah Spain.
I'm buying that the assistants would be frustrated and questioning their futures and would want to find somewhere else more stable. I'm also buying that if Jim Harbaugh wants to go back to the NFL, he's got to do those interviews. It was rumored for the Bears, the Raiders, then the Vikings. It didn't work out, but I don't know if I hold it against him that he went and interviewed to see if he wanted to leave.
Kevin Blackstone.
Yeah, you know, the first departure, McDonald, that's to the NFL, so maybe that's a little bit of a step up. Gattis is a little bit more curious, especially given the fact that he said that he felt a little underappreciated, and I'm not sure if that's a shot at Harbaugh. I mean, he was making $1 million there, or whether it was a shot at Ward Manuel, but obviously there's something not too cool right there.
Where's that?
Tony, I'm buying that Jim Harbaugh's plans were foiled for multiple reasons in the NFL. And I'm buying these coordinators bailing because you know what? This is about the University of Miami with Gattis specifically stepping up and getting into big-time college football, outbidding Michigan for a coordinator job. That had never happened at the University of Miami. And it's a new day there with those guys and Mario Cristobal.
Fire sale three. Through three group stage games, USA women's hockey outscoring opponents 18-2. Canadians women's hockey outscoring opponents 29-3, including 11-1 over Finland, last time's bronze medalist. They meet tonight. Toronto Stars' Rosie DiMano. Why women's hockey doesn't belong in the Olympics. Only two countries at the Beijing Games can play women's hockey at an elite level. Her word, she's allowed to use it. And that's not good enough for the Olympics. And Helene Elliott in the LA Times, disparity in women's hockey keeps hampering the sport. Sarah, buy or sell?
I think these global competitions are what elevates the game around the country. There are definitely sports that are dominated by certain countries. Korea dominates archery. China dominates table tennis. The U.S. dominates basketball. In these sports like soccer or hockey, where the U.S. in Title IX gives women an advantage, what you do is you go out and show the rest of the globe what an investment in that sport looks like, and eventually they catch up, which is what we saw with soccer in the most recent competition for the U.S., which didn't go the way they had hoped. I'm excited about this matchup. The last time the U.S. and Canada met and the women won gold for the U.S. It was one of the greatest sporting events I've ever watched in my life. Let's talk about how good this matchup is going to be instead of all the
others. Kevin Blackstone.
Well, I agree with that. And, you know, Finland won like three bronzes. So you're talking about three countries here who have kind of dominated women's Olympic hockey since it's been around since 1998. What this really shows, though, is that, or reminds you, is that hockey is a very expensive sport. Whether it's at the high school or youth level, whether it's at the college level, or in this case, whether or not it's at the global level. And until other countries can invest as much as Canada and the U.S. have in their women's hockey teams, this is the George result Donna. You're going to get.
Tony, I'm old enough to remember the Dream Team in 1992 winning by 60 points and then us having to go 16 years later and saying we have to bring in a redeem team to reestablish ourselves in men's basketball. Good. I'm old enough to remember on this show where we were arguing, the women's soccer team, are they in trouble? Is it over for them? We were just doing that just a couple of months ago. This is cyclical.
Canada invented the sport. The U.S., because of Title IX, is 30, 40 years ahead in team sports of women in other countries being able to compete. But shutting it down, how is that going to teach other countries where they need to get to and what they
this
need
happened
to invest
with softball, right?
In order it to get to that level.
An Olympic sport for a turn.
They'll never be elite if they do
and
that.
And watch yourself and then came back and the U.S. lost. That's it for Kalishaw. He knew what he was getting himself into. Blackstone's done as well. Sedano, Spain, showdown next.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
NASCAR at LA Coliseum. It was all Kyle Busch, then it was all Ice Cube for a set at lap 75, and then it was all Joey Logano. But it looked, well, George, let me ask it to you this way. Were you dizzy with excitement or just dizzy considering the length of the track?
Tony, I was definitely just dizzy, but as a wise man used to once say on this network, CC, I'm very intrigued because they had Pitbull and Ice Cube involved, and that got me to tune in for a little bit.
I was dizzied by the influencers and sports colleagues who suddenly were at their very first NASCAR, so I guess that worked. Let's do it in the Roman Coliseum next. How about that? I want to see that.
Point for the idea, and a point, of course, for Poppy. We'll move on. Cliffhanger. Who doesn't like a good cliffhanger? Look at this shot. Jordan Spieth had a pebble on Saturday. The blimp shot, he said, once he saw that, he realized maybe he shouldn't be doing this.
Ooh.
You know, he's not on the level. Speaking of on the level, George, yo! Look at George making sure the rim is level. Would you try this or just take the penalty and move it back a bit, Sarah?
I would try this because I am just the kind of moron who would not know, just like him, until I saw the blimp shot, just how dangerous and stupid it was.
Georgie?
Tony, I am a chicken bleep. I probably wouldn't have tried it, but he was smart to try because a drop probably wouldn't have meant that he would have made par in that situation.
Oh, yes, you're always on the level. George, you were underneath the basket at that Mavs game like you were going to do something. You would stop the game. Hold on a second. Sedano's got a level here. Good work, Georgie. We love you. FaceTime.
Thank you, Tony. I was ready to get my hands dirty with the wrench if needed in that situation. I want to say happy birthday to Matthew Stafford. Obviously, he's in the news a ton this week as the Rams are in the Super Bowl, and he went from being 0-3 in the playoffs to now being on the step of winning a championship. When the Rams had their three-game losing streak earlier this year, everybody wrote them off, including a lot of memes about his record against winning teams. I believe it was 9-63, if I recall correctly, but no one's talking about that now. Good luck.
Why don't you bring up the stat right there on your face?
You aren't talking about it.
43 half hour break. See you tomorrow.